Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I learned a lot in part one of today's podcast about the way that COVID-9 propagates in homes and offices. And our guest, Caroline Blazovsky, is a national home expert. She's a house investigator, public educator, media personality, and CEO and founder of the My Healthy Home Company. And so, Caroline, welcome back to part two. So you wanted to talk a little bit about air purifiers. And, you know, air purifiers have come a long way since they were first introduced. They're popular, at the very inception of my career, 30, 40 years ago. But there's some new features to air purifiers.
Yeah.
Could they be part of the solution for keeping our air free of viral particles?
Absolutely. So it's really important. There was a lot of discrepancy, right, with filtration. And the more you can filter a home, the better. And when we're talking about, there's been so many studies and about ultrafine particles, and these are these little things that are less than 2.5 microns, anything smaller. And, you know, I went out to USC to study public health. And so one of the first studies that was brought to my attention was that when people had the APOE4 gene for Alzheimer's, or they were exposed to high levels of particulate in general, they could exhibit cognitive decline. Mm-hmm. They could activate the gene states. So yeah, the high levels of pollution
are implicated really in Alzheimer's. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, they studied other things as well and saw that the amyloid plaque would start to grow when people were exposed to these high levels. So that interested me. And I said, look, you know, I think we know it's important to filter. And then how do we do this in a home? And what I found in my 20 years of doing this was that we would do remediation projects, and you could understand this, where we do a cleanup for mold and the person would still not be better. And I'm like, this is so strange. What, like, the air quality looks good. I've tested it. Everything's fine. And lo and behold, in the corner of the room, they had these air purifiers that they had left behind and they didn't change the filter.
Ooh.
And it had the dirty air in. And so when we took the filters out, the people got better. And I said, wow, isn't this interesting? Like, here we're supposed to be using filtration as a positive. Mm-hmm. But the negative to it is that it sits there, collects all this stuff, and it's not hermetically sealed to the environment. That stuff stays in your environment, even though it's collected in the filter. So then I started to shy away from a lot of the filtration because I found that people weren't changing it the way that they were supposed to.
Yeah.
So it's really important for you, if you do have filtration, to utilize it properly, to make sure you are changing it, and then to be up on the latest technology. So, you know, we're doing a lot now with a company, it's called IntelliPure, but they basically are allowing us to filter very ultrafine particles on HVAC systems without slowing down the HVAC. Because you can imagine if you put this big, thick filter onto filter, right? Yeah. What's it going to do to your HVAC? It's going to slow up your CFM. You're not going to get heat coming out, air conditioning. So a lot of these companies now, or this one in particular, has utilized technology to be able to get ultrafine particles, really great filtration, but not mess with the HVAC system, which is phenomenal because static pressure has always been an issue. But it's really important for people to utilize filtration to help prevent disease states, but make sure you're changing the filters and utilizing it properly.
For a while, you know, ionized air was popular, these ionizers. And I remember using one. And, you know, it seemed to be doing a good job. But then there was this big halo of soot around it because it electrocharged mm-hmm. the particles. I had it up against the wall, had a nice white paint job, and then there was this sort of soot halo
That's right.
literally around uh-huh. that because it effectively put a charge on particles, but then the particles stuck to the wall.
That's right. So now they've gotten better at utilizing the electrostatic technology, but then they're using PCO filtration, which is photocatalytic oxidation that's hydrated. So they're using bigger filters to capture this stuff now mm-hmm. because they realize that's exactly what's happening.
It's like a magnet for dirt.
Yeah, completely, completely. It's funny that you noticed that. And the filtration, I really still like HEPA filtration. I like going above a MERV rating. So I utilize a lot of filtration with my dehumidification. I make sure my dehumidifiers run filtration. I make sure in the homes that I work on that they also run filtration on the HVAC, obviously. And then also, obviously, vacuums. You want to make sure your vacuum has HEPA filtration. So the more you can incorporate it into the building, the healthier you're going to be. But you've got to change these things, and you've got to make sure that if you're utilizing it, you utilize it properly.
You know, another problem that's come about as a result of COVID-19 is that people are using a lot more chemicals. They're using a lot of, Lysol and bleach and, hand wipes and sometimes aerosolized sprays, sort of, supposedly disinfectant sprays. A, is that effective? And B, what are some of the potential harmful consequences of doing that in a closed environment?
Yeah, we saw a lot of that where the volatile organics, a lot of these products, you think you read something and you think it says Clorox bleach, right? A wipe that says bleach, but it's not really bleach. It's ethanol or alcohol based. And so these are VOCs and they can rapidly get very high in a home. And then also they've got added fragrance and byproduct and other VOCs.
Yep.
And not only that, but they can really dry out your hands and cause all kinds of other infections that happen. But what's interesting
or chemical reactions. Some people have like horrendous, what seem like chemical burns because of hypersensitization to the chemicals in these disinfectants.
I recommend when people go out. So when you use a product like that and they looked at this at the clinical infectious disease, it is a clinical infectious disease study, but ethanol, it works. When you put it on your hands, it will kill the virus within 15 seconds. Now, if you're going out to a grocery store and you don't have access to any type of water and soap, which is the go-to, right? You should always go to water and a surfactant first. But if you can't, then I recommend it. But it's important for people to realize if you were to go into a really public, big public space, whether it's a grocery store or you're going to a more crowded restaurant or wherever the area it is where there's a lot of people, this virus has the ability to hang on you for like 9 hours. So, women, hair around men's mustache, facial hair, you're not going to be using alcohol wipes. So if you are going to an area where you could potentially be contaminated with not only virus, but just VOCs, chemicals, if you go to a concert, talking about not during COVID, but after, if you go to a movie theater, if you go to a theater to see a play, you need to come home and take a shower because these things will stay on you for like a 9 hour period. And that's where you get the risk of possible infection. So yes, do your hands if you don't have access to soap and water, but then make sure you take a full shower when you come in from a, real and congested area.
And obviously with soap, because soap does the trick. What about, when it comes to planes, a lot of people are pretty freaked out about getting on a plane and traveling these days, and the airline industry is really taking a hit. Is the airline industry using some of these techniques that you've described, or is the danger really that great, or what are the statistics showing on transmission of the virus?
Yeah, they've actually been showing that the transmission is really, really low in airplanes. Now, I don't know, it always depends on where the study's coming from. But a lot of that has to do with this recirculated air. There's some high dilution. So when, if someone were to have the virus, because of the air is being diluted so dramatically, it's harder to catch it, which that's a good thing. Also, people are staying covered and they're making sure that they are, trying to limit the amount of exposure from each person.
And they're not traveling so much when they're sick. They're actually they're exercising some degree of responsibility when it comes to exposing others. I also understand that the way that air circulates in planes is not so much back to front or front to back, but those little dealy bobs that you twist above your head, to get a little fresh air. Maybe it's not so fresh, but it's recirculated air. You know, it's a vertical ventilation, and then there's like an intake under the seat. So most of what you're getting is from above, and it circulates out
going below.
And it's there's not so much row-to-row transmission, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think most of the, like, especially, I always notice when I go on a plane, it seems like I've always come back with a cold, right? But, and I always blame it on the plane, and I say, oh, it's because I flew. But you know what I think it comes from is the airport. So when you're at the airport, that's where a lot of the transmission happens, and we just associate it with the plane. But in reality, when you're coming in contact with so many of those surfaces at the airport and the air quality in the airport, I think that's where you actually catch it.
No, I think that's a good point. Do they also, have they retrofitted the planes with some of these UV units, or are they using UV cleaning? I think they're extensively cleaning with UV.
They have an amazing device that I saw recently that came out. It was called the Falcon, and it looks like if you were to send it down the aisle, it almost has wings. Like, so imagine this mechanical device, but it looks like it has wings that span out over the seating, and that UV lights the entire plane and all the seats. It's like amazing. It was, I just saw a video about the technology. It was quite interesting, but all of it. I mean, they're using, you know, the disinfection, the UV technology. They're also using something that leaves behind, I don't know how I feel about it, but they're using it's a chemical compound that they spray on the plane, and it basically puts almost like a, I guess it would be like a biocide, and it prevents the virus from being able to survive on that surface for, you know, 5 days or so. So they basically, you know, spray down the plane, and then it prevents anything from sticking, which is kind of interesting. I don't know how I feel about it, but
I mean, it's a little concerned then about the chemical exposure on those planes, because it's going to be a little more intense.
Definitely. That has been my concern all along, that, you know, you are going to be having a much higher volatile organic load.
With lots of people opening up, opening up disinfectant.
That's right.
You know,
that's where the VOCs come in. So if you can use soap and water, and especially at home, there's no need to be using these sanitizers. I mean, you can use hydrogen peroxide, works great. Hydrogen peroxide, when you're talking about this virus, it's got like a lipid around the exterior of it. So what you need to do is break up the lipid in order to get into the center of the virus. And, and it's not a living thing. It's just you want to deactivate it. So the soap, the surfactant, that does that. And then the hydrogen peroxide can go in and basically, just deactivate it. So hydrogen peroxide works great. It doesn't leave behind any residue. You know, it's just hydrogen and oxygen that it breaks down into. So you can use that on surfaces like toilets. You can use it on your sinks, spray it with hydrogen peroxide. You can just let it sit there as long as it's not going to take out any color and you're not going to utilize it on a porous, you know, something like wood or whatever. But use hydrogen peroxide frequently. You know, you can utilize alcohol, but just use your regular rubbing alcohol. Don't go with things that have all the additives in it. If you're going to wipe your phone down, just use straight alcohol. And then, of course, soap and water works great.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Here goes. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, with great guests like today's America's Healthy Home expert, Carolyn Blazovsky. Now back to her. You know, coming back to a theme that we would have touched upon in one of our ordinary visits, it has to do with your role as kind of a detective when, you know, you consult with a lot of doctors like myself who look at patients who suffer from mold toxicity or mold exposure, call it what you will. So what we do is, you know, obviously we, you know, test the patient, but we also suggest that the home get tested. So tell us about the services that you offer at My Healthy Home when it comes to diagnosing a potential chemical problem or mold problem in a home or an office.
Yeah, and we've really advanced. I mean, we obviously do your standard spore trap, your standard mold testing, which is looking for viable spores, but there's different ways to test for mold. So we've also developed an MVOC test where you can look at the gases that molds produce. So if mold's hidden in a wall somewhere and you may not be able to get a spore count, but that mold's producing a mycotoxin. So molds do three things. They're the spore that you have, and then they also produce a gas, like similar
which
to smoking cigarettes.
Which if it lands on a petri dish, then it'll grow, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin, you know, the mold will grow. And that's obvious. And that's one of the cheap ways to use, you know, mold plates, you know, to open them up, and if they start to grow stuff, there's mold. But that's not even, that's a kind of gross way to detect
right,
mold,
archaic,
right?
Yeah. It's an archaic. I mean, when I first started my career, that's all we had. So now we do air sampling where we actually, it adheres to a cassette and then it goes under into a lab. And then we look at how many spores there are and how it correlates to the different species that you have inside versus outside. So it's gotten really advanced. And then mm-hmm. we utilize different technologies to grab the VOC that molds produce, because they kind of like smoke cigarettes in your house, if you will. They put off a gas. They mm-hmm. breathe in and out, and then you get this gas, so we can test for it that way. And then also, if you get these toxic molds we hear about, they produce a mycotoxin. And that's when you hear about people saying, I had a mold problem, mm-hmm. I got rid of the mold, but I still feel sick. Mm-hmm. That's because some of these molds have the ability to leave behind this neurotoxin or mycotoxin. And we've learned a lot about it over mm-hmm. the last 20 years and how significant it is in depleting the immune system, and then also being possible carcinogenic factor, causing all kinds of neurologic problems. So these mycotoxins are like COVID, very small, ultra fine particles that sort of just stick places. But unlike COVID, they can stay up to 15 years or so, where COVID virus would be gone in 3 days. So people worry about COVID all the time, and I kind of laugh. I say, well, if mm-hmm. we ever get a real toxic mold that fires off a neurotoxin that could kill us all, we'd be in big trouble. So these neurotoxins are nasty little things. And but we've gotten really good at testing for them now and being able to test all types of different neurotoxins and mycotoxins that come off. And we do those tests quite frequently now to see, you know, what people are exposed to in their home.
Yeah, I'll never forget the headline in here. It was either the Post or the Daily News on September 10th. It was a lurid headline, September 10th, 2001. You know what that day was, because we were mm-hmm. kind of complacent about some of the, you know, mega threats that we're going to face, you know, the next day. But the headline was toxic mold, you know, in, you know, mm-hmm. 28 point type across the front of the newspaper. And it was about mm-hmm. the discovery of Stachybotrys mold in homes and in schools, and how pervasive a problem that was. And then, of course, our attention span lasted about a day on that, and it was superseded by other threats. But it remains a pervasive threat. And Caroline, are you concerned about, you know, we've been seeing an awful lot of storms, you know, perhaps it's about climate change, a mm-hmm. lot of flooding, especially yep. in the southern part of the United States. And, you know, there's a lot of devastation that occurs at the time of a hurricane. But I think what's even more insidious is the aftermath of some of these flooding events.
100%. I mean, we've just seen, I mean, look, mold has been the biggest part of my business for so many years. And I mean, I've seen 30,000 houses in my career, and now I'm doing homes in Australia and all over. And it's amazing that the climate change, the houses weren't built for protection from the rain and the wind and all of these things. And so, and the high humidity, I mean, we're seeing people talk about the temperature being raised, but what's really happening is, if you've noticed, yes, we get an increase in temperature, but it's that humidity factor that has really gone up. And that's what causes the mold to grow in the HVAC systems. I mean, five times a day, I have HVAC systems that are contaminated with chytomium, which is a toxic mold, like Stachybotrys. We've always heard about Stachy, but chytomium, mm-hmm. and there's a whole bunch in that family that produce neurotoxin. And so it's just becoming really prevalent, especially in HVAC systems that you need to service your equipment. You need to make sure that you've got drip pans and air conditionings, and these things need to be serviced in the Northeast one time. If you live in Florida, if you live in Arizona, if you live in Texas, those areas, you need to be having the HVAC serviced twice a year, if not more, because those drip pans get mold in them and they need to be cleaned out, and the HVAC needs to be cleaned out. And so that's how people end up getting a lot of contamination.
Is that something you can rely upon for your HVAC, you know, service company, or should you go, one step beyond and work with a company like yours to get a real thorough checkout.
Well, once every 3 years, you should do a mold test just to know what's happening. And then you have a baseline and stay on top of that. So most of my clients come back like every 3 years. And then if they have, you know, an incident where they've got mold exposure or something happens and water damage. But yeah, the HVAC company can traditionally handle it. And also what I recommend is going to a NADCA, and it's NADCA, Certified Duct Cleaning Company. And the NADCA part is important. And they can put a camera in and look through your HVAC to see exactly.
It's like a colonoscopy. You know,
Oh, it is. It's well, look, I say the
it's like a fiber HVAC optic camera.
Heart. That's yeah. right. It's the HVAC is the heart and lungs of the home. And then these, your duct work, right? Let's could be your intestine. And so they stick the camera in. They make sure you don't have mold growth. You don't have anything going on in the exchanger inside the actual cabinet of the unit. They can look at everything. Then they can do a thorough cleaning on your HVAC system if you need it. And that's what I recommend a lot. So when I start to see problems in homes, the first thing I do is I have a really good company called Air Duct Cleaning Solutions. They happen to be in New Jersey, but I refer them in and I say, look, I want to know what's going on. Let's get a scope of everything. It's very similarly probably to what you do. And let's see what's happening. And if that's okay, we'll move on to something else. But you need to check the HVAC. It's just a known area that has to water, a water source in there. So
yeah, and that's on a routine basis. It's not even necessarily when, you know, people start sneezing and wheezing and, you know, are complaining of mysterious symptoms, headaches and so on, that you should do this.
Yep. And it's, you know, you don't have to do it frequently, but I would recommend doing about every 5 years, you should have your duct system cleaned out. If you have pets and you've got more occupants in the home, then you might have to do it more frequently, but a really good cleaning every 5 years. And everybody, I mean, I send so many clients and they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. I mean, you immediately, you know, all that dust and debris that settles in there and you get it out, it's so noticeable. So wow. It's important to make sure that you don't have any mold growth in there and that you're not spewing it all around. Because if you get mold inside your duct, guess what happens? Inside the unit, it just blows it through the entire house. And then the mold says, okay, now I'm going to grow in your bathroom because I've got water up here, and you're creating a whole avenue for it to travel.
You're disseminating it,
Yeah.
So we've covered a lot of themes in today's podcasts. Is there anything else you'd like to touch upon before we give people a heads up on My Healthy Home?
No, I think if, you know, everybody's spending a lot of time at home now, and I think it's important to do one test. You know, I just had a client yesterday that called and said, look, I work out in my basement. I'm a personal trainer. Now I'm in my basement all the time. I should do a radon test. I should do a mold test. So, you know, try to get one thing done to make sure that your home is healthy, you know, during this time period, whether it's getting your duct service, maybe getting the HVAC contractor to come out and take a look. You know, you can call us. We can send you a kit. You don't even have to have anybody come traipsing through your house, which people seem to like now. So you don't have to have anybody, you know, disturbing you, but you can test your air quality and see what's going on and just get it looked at.
Yeah, it's a perfect time to do it because COVID-19 is keeping a lot of us home. And we want to make sure that our homes are healthy environments for ourselves, our kids, and so on.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. So let's give our audience a heads up on your service. It's My Healthy Home. That's your green company that offers testing services, products, and consultations for homes throughout the U.S. And the couple of ways to get them. One is healthyhomeexpert.com. That's one website. But I, in the past, have used myhealthyhome.info in that domain, the .info domain.
Yep. Either one is great. Or they can, I mean, we're on Facebook, Healthy Home Expert, My Healthy Home on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's really easy to find us. So you can just look up, you know, even if you just look up Healthy Home, you Google it, we come right up number one in the country. So just.
And after the pandemic, are you planning your Broadway play, the musical?
I'm planning a big vacation.
Okay.
Yeah, I've because you through the pandemic, everybody else got to have off. Unfortunately, I did not.
Well, it's so. You've had an embarrassment of riches, it sounds like, because a lot of people are reliant on a clean air supply.
It's sad that the pandemic had to bring this, you know, really to the forefront, but it just made everybody realize that, you know, our air quality, we are so susceptible in so many different ways. And this is just one. You know, we've got glyphosate issues, we have VOC issues, and it's really important to really start looking at your environment, especially if you're having health issues, and you know this better than anyone. If you have something that's not explained and you really can't get a handle on it, and you do your scans, you do your tests, and nothing comes back, look at your environment and start seeing what's happening for sure.
We call that environmental medicine. That's mm-hmm. Really fundamental aspect of a comprehensive medical checkup. Thank you, Caroline Blazovsky. Really appreciate you coming on, and congratulations on your work. You really seem to be keeping up with some of the challenges.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us. As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.